help us to commence this evening with hymn 1070. Thou friend of friendless sinners, hear and magnify thy grace divine. Pardon a worm that would draw near, that would his heart to thee resign. A worm by self and sin oppressed, that pants to reach thy promised rest. 1070.
Thank you. reading of the Word of God is from the Gospel as recorded by John, chapter 2. The Gospel as recorded by John, chapter 2. On the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. They filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear it unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, than that which is worse. But thou hast kept a good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother, and his brethren and his disciples. They continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. When he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, and make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed on his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, but he knew all men, needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. May he bless to you and I the reading of his word, and help us in prayer. Dear Lord, grant us the Holy Spirit's influence and help as we seek thee in prayer. Oh, may we be taught how to pray. Lord, make us to feel our need again and again. And may we present our petitions and present them upon the merits of the name of thy Son, Jesus. One more occasion is granted to us. We're spared to meet around the word of truth. Well, we do pray, Lord, that we may value these occasions and these times. And help us, Lord, to pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we read, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Lord, help us to come and confess all our sins. Lord, we approach thee, who art holy, who cannot look upon sin in any degree of allowance. Lord, we confess another day's sins and iniquities, and pray that that precious blood that was shed for many may wash away all our transgressions, that we might enter into some measure of peace with pardon. Well, we do thank thee, Lord, that thou hast made a way that repentant sinners shall indeed be accepted at the throne of grace. Lord, we bless thee because, Lord, thou hast a people whom thou wilt take to glory. And that people are the subjects of grace. Lord, they also shall be the subjects of glory. Lord, may it be known by us each if it is thy will. And that, Lord, thy grace is free, but it is also sovereign. Lord, upon whom thou hast blessed with grace, thou wilt bless with glory. Lord, we know the purposes of grace. Lord, that new nature, that wonderful blessing of a new nature, Lord, that brings us to thee and to thy pardoning love and forgiving mercy. Lord, we are undeserved of the least of thy favours. But Lord, meeting again in the evening of this day, Lord, thou hast spared us to be here. Then, Lord, we would thank thee that we want to be here. Lord, there's something that thou hast, we trust, put within us that desires the company of thy people. Lord, one said, I love to meet among them now, at thy gracious feet to bow, thou vilest of them all. Lord, grant a visit from Jesus tonight to the needy and the poor. Oh, may his name be glorified, and may his honour and mercy be known. Lord, we would be blessed in thy house. Lord, there are those that come, we trust, with a need. Lord, there were days, in the days of thy pilgrimage, Lord Jesus, they brought their needs to Jesus. Lord, there are those here, we trust, who have need. Lord, we stand in need of mercy. Mercy through blood. I make my plea, O God, be merciful to me. Lord, when we think of the privilege it is to be able to indeed get into the sanctuary of God, And we think, Lord, of the mercy that gave us the desire to be here. And this is the opportunity to hear the word of truth. Dear Holy Spirit, we have much to thank thee for. Lord, we trust in our hearts and in each that are here, there is that desire to be here. Lord, and we pray, Lord, that they may not go home empty. Lord, we do pray that there may be those who shall have that desire for a blessing. Lord, leave them not, neither forsake them. And should it please thee, Lord, that they may indeed have to wait for thee, Lord, grant them that grace, Lord, and patience to wait for thee. Lord, one said the appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but called by grace to change the heart, renew the will, turn the feet to Zion's hill. Lord, are there those, we're sure there must be, Lord, waiting souls. Lord, desire mercy. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lord, where can we find in the word of God any that have come to wait upon thee, wait for thee, who's ever been disappointed? Oh Lord, what a trial of faith it is at times as we long for thee to work, long for thee to appear, long for thee to speak. Lord, give that grace to wait for thee. Lord, one has recorded in the scriptures, ye have need of patience. Lord, and we do need that patience. So thou wilt, Lord, indeed come and make poor sinners glad. Lord, we think of what we read in the gospel, and he answered her not a word. Oh, what a trial that must have been to that dear woman. Lord, because thou didst not answer, it wasn't because thou didst not hear. Oh, the trial that it is to waiting, praying souls. Lord, to call upon thee and to be encouraged to ask again. Lord, we think of that word in the book of Genesis. Lord, the brethren of Joseph had been to Egypt for corn, and they were instructed to go again to the man. Lord, help us to go again to the man Christ Jesus and lay our burdens and concerns there. Will there be any disappointed praying souls, Lord? Well, that cannot be. So encourage thy dear people to pray. So remember this cause. And we thank thee for maintaining it. Lord, we do seek prosperity. Lord, a prosperity of grace. Oh, grace that moves unwilling feet. Lord, are there not there, are there not here those who would follow thee? Lord, help them to venture, Lord, and to tell to sinners round what a kind Saviour they have found. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the needs of thy children. Thou knowest their burdens and thou knowest their cares. Thou knowest also, Lord, the disappointments. And often, Lord, are they tempted, Lord, by reason of their prayers not being answered, are they tempted of Satan to give up prayer. Lord, we know what it is to be tried about praying. We do pray, Lord, that thou would help them and encourage them. So add to the church here those who will confess Jesus, those who will be able to tell what he has done for them. And one said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest shrine would wholly lean on his dear name. Lord, may there be those who shall venture, Lord, venture to the throne of grace, venture to tell to sinners round, Lord, that work which has been blessed to them. Lord, bless the ministry in this place. Lord, oh, we have prayed many times, Lord, here, that I would raise up for them an under-shepherd. Lord, it is a given, it is a gift given by God, but so is the exercise of it, Lord. So is the spirit of prayer. Lord, help them to pray, to know thy will, and to seek to see thy will come to pass. That we would remember those who are not here. Lord, went away in affliction. We would not forget her, Lord. The throne of grace is not bound to four walls, Lord. As we try to pray for her, may she pray for herself. Lord, lay thy healing hand upon her and strengthen her. But leave her, Lord, not just healed, but also blessed. Lord, may her own soul profit by affliction's path. Lord, as well as body, may be restored. And Lord, I indeed the mercy in her own soul, give thee the thanks and to give thee the praise. Lord, those who mourn, those who sorrow, Lord, we commend to thee. Oh, strengthen the things which remain. Lord, we do earnestly pray. And very kindly, Lord, turn the captivity of thy people, those that wait, and those that are often discouraged. Lord, we pray, Lord, according to thy word. We think what is written in the Kings, first book of Kings. Lord, that promise of rain. And Lord, they went and looked and there was nothing. Lord, it is painful. But they were to look seven times. And there, Lord, was the evidence. What thou hast promised, Lord, will be tried. But what thou hast promised, thou wilt perform. Help those who had to hold office here. Lord, give them more needed grace. Lord, to do thy will. To seek thy help and guidance, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that those who carry burdens, Lord, may feel the strength of those everlasting arms holding them up. So do appear, Lord, and all such gatherings tonight, Lord, wherever thy people gather around the word of truth, may they know thy presence and help. Lord, thou hast a people still, Lord, that love the things of Christ. Lord, thou wilt never leave thy people nor forsake them. We thank, Lord, that we are travelling, Lord, in the last days of our life. Soon we shall be gone. Soon this lisping, stammering tongue shall lie silent in the grave. Lord, prepare us for the end of the journey. Lord, if we are in the right way, it leads unto life, but it is a narrow way. But Lord, if we are in that narrow way, prepare us for the end of the journey. We do thank thee, Lord, that thy grace is all sufficient. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that thou would guide us with thy counsel in life's uncertain path. But Lord, at the end of the day, may we be found with Christ, which is far better. We would remember this poor nation. Lord, what a sink of sin it is in. Oh, we pray, Lord, that there may be raised up men in high places who fear God and who seek the prosperity and the blessing of such a nation as this. Lord, we go from sin to sin, and Lord, the world is in the religion, Lord. We have an established church, but Lord, it's far from the truth. Oh, hear our prayers, Lord. Do have mercy upon this poor land, and may there be many turned from Satan's kingdom to the kingdom of thy dear Son. So we thank thee for everyday mercies. We thank thee for all the providential blessings that we possess and enjoy. Lord, these are not our rest. Help us to hold them with a loose hand. Lord, prepare us and make us willing to let them go. Oh, prepare us then for the end of the journey. Now forgive us of all our sin. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 806, the second part. Come, ye backsliding sons of God, for many such there are, who long the paths of sin have trod. Come, cast away despair, return to Jesus Christ and see, there's mercy still for such as we. 806, the second part.
seek in divine help. I ask your attention to the reading, the Gospel as recorded by John chapter 2, and what you read in verse 5. The chapter 2 of the Gospel according to John, and verse 5. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. The Lord help us to lose sight of what is round about it, and what indeed is the purpose of the word in those days. But help us to look at this word as it applies to the use. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. What high favour some poor sinners have. Not all, but some poor sinners have. They hear the word of the Lord. They hear it in their own soul. You've been quickened by the Spirit, called by invincible grace. You will hear his word. You will hear his voice. That voice you will hear, of course, in a very solemn way. He speaks through his word. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. This is the words of Jesus, the Son of God. And never man spake like this man. That's what the scriptures say of him. If he's spoken to your soul, you will say also, never man spake like this man. This glorious Son of the Highest, who came on earth to redeem his people from their sin and to offer himself as a sacrifice for that sin, who shed his blood to wash away the transgression that his people know. And again, dear friends, having finished the work which his Father gave him to do, he then returned to glory. And he is at the Father's right hand, a Prince and a Saviour. He is the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. But blessed be God, he also speaks into the heart of his own dear people. What a solemn thing, dear friends, if you and I never hear his voice. We can then be only found to be amongst those who shall indeed be left to eternal woe. But you know, he speaks by his word and through his word, and he speaks gracious things. The question, dear friends, would be is this: are there those here and that desire to hear his word, his voice? I was going to say, are there those here that not only desire to hear his voice, but desire to hear what he would say concerning their soul salvation? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. But then again, we must try to speak to those who long to hear his voice. What grace is needed, dear friends, what grace is needed to heed what he saith. Is there such a soul that is exercised? You know, in the Old Testament, we find those words, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. If you are spiritually exercised, taught by God, he's put you into a pathway, he'll have you to walk. He has provided that pathway which is according to his sovereign will and purpose. I suppose, dear friends, it would be, I trust, acceptable to you if there's such a soul here that is exercised about the ordinances of the house of God, of the gospel. You know, exercised souls are blessed souls, but they cannot walk in their own strength. Takes me back many, many years. I learned what the psalmist said in the 71st Psalm. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of his righteousness and his only. The children of God seek only the approbation of a three-one God. If the Holy Spirit has begun a work of grace in your soul, he'll lead you in gospel ordinances and he'll make you willing to walk in them. I hope, dear friends, that amongst us here there are those that listen for his voice as they come into the courts of his house, whether it's on a Sabbath or a weeknight. Can you, dear friends, I say this very solemnly, to come and go to the house of God like the door on its hinges, to come and go at the house of God without the slightest desire to hear God speak to the soul. And yet, dear friends, there are those, of course, who are, and I don't say that lightly, but according to the gracious work in their soul, they sit in the house of God under condemnation. You know, everybody knows how the 8th chapter of Romans commences. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And I suppose if I should describe these dear souls, they have listened for his voice. How many years did you go, you have made an open profession, how many years did you go in the house of God and you went home disappointed? Oh, the time of love will come, you say. And each shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. Tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour. Wait till the bridegroom of your soul reveals his love with power. And you know, there are times in the exercise of the living family of God that listen for him to speak to you. I think about I would say this, of course, and you will forgive me, but for many years I carried this exercise of preaching. And I had a very dear, gracious father, and he knew it because the Lord had told him. And he said to me, never put your hand to the work. Wait for him to speak. One had to wait. I waited years and years. But you know, there's a set time to favour Zion. The set time is come, the psalmist said. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. But what is needed, dear friends, God will work in his people and by his grace will exercise them concerning their spiritual path. And the purposes of which he will reveal to them. Not all our deacons, not all our preachers, dear friends, but they have a path to walk. And the Lord puts them in a path, he'll help them to go. And as one minister said to us many, many years back, it will be a pathway that you can't manage. Are these the days? Are we still in the days in this terrible time in this country? Dear friends, are there still coming to chapel those who listen for him? And I mean listen for him in a personal way. He has assured them by this, by his grace, his purposes of love and mercy, but have an exercise concerning the eternal mind of an eternal God. You know, he raises up out of the ruins of the fall and calls them by his grace. He exercises their soul in the path which he will have them to walk. I suppose, dear friends, you won't mind me saying, and I don't in any way prepare these discourses, but you know where the Lord's purpose of grace is found. He'll lead them in the path, he'll have them to go. I might ask the question, dear friends, and you'll forgive me if you find it not according to your liking, but are there those still that come to chapel and that seek to know the will of God respecting these ordinances? And you come to this conclusion, dear friends, and I believe this is right too, to come to this conclusion that you must have his approbation and his smile, and you listen for his voice. And as these ministers come and occupy this pulpit from week to week, you come in anticipation that one day the Lord will speak to you and the Lord will command you to do his will and purpose. Oh, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Of course, we have the purpose here before us, and that is the Son of God. And he was to indeed work a miracle in their midst. But so is grace a miracle. When you consider, dear friends, and I try sometimes very feebly to consider what a mercy that the Lord raises up sinners, calls by his grace those who come under the knowledge of the truth and possess the blessings of grace, and yet, dear friends, they are dependent upon the gracious God to show them the way and to lead them therein. There is a word somewhere and it says this: who is sufficient for these things, dear friends? But our sufficiency is of God. If God has an eternal purpose in your life and has indeed called you by his grace and revealed to you the way, dear friends, he'll be an all-sufficient God to you. I'm quite convinced of this, though I suffer as much as anyone with unbelief. I'm quite convinced, dear friends, that he'll have his people where he'll have them to be. And he'll bring them there, and he will maintain them there, and he'll give them all needed grace to walk according to that eternal mind. I also might ask the question now, in the midst of this chapel, is there a soul here that comes to chapel to listen for his voice? You hear the ministry, you hear the word read, you heard the prayers of the people of God. Are there those here that are indeed settled on this one valuable part. They want to hear the Lord's word, the voice in it, and are given that needed grace to indeed not only to wait upon him and for him, but also the need of faith to do according to his will. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. But should he speak to you and any of you, dear friends, to confirm your exercises in the pathway, and I'm sure of this, that you will find much opposition to it. But has he ever left you? Has he ever failed you? Would he ask you to do something? Would he ask you to walk in his ways? Dear friends, without his grace, without his presence, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Dear friends, I hope I'm speaking to someone. If it should only be one soul, then there's a purpose for this text. I had this during the night season, as quite often these texts are given. And dear friends, and I laid awake there for a while thinking about this and what could be said about it. But it speaks of communion between God and your soul. And it reveals the eternal mind of God concerning your soul and your pathway. As I said, it may fill you with a great concern. Oh, you'll say, who is sufficient for such a pathway? But have you not proved, and you that fear God, have you not proved that the way that you walk, where it is according to his holy mind and will, that he will uphold and sustain you and maintain you? Dear friends, walk in paths of faith. Walk in dependent upon a good and gracious God. It's nothing to do with the flesh, for the flesh has no interest in it. But if you and I are raised up of God by his grace and mercy and given what to do, is he not sufficient? You know, he put his children, his national people, he brought them out of Egypt, and he put them 40 years of walking through the wilderness till they got to Canaan. There was nothing for them to eat. By what I mean by that is, of course, they couldn't sow, and therefore they couldn't reap. But God was all sufficient. He has helped, and he will help. Where he have you and I to be, dear friends, he'll be sufficient. There's been many a person that has been raised up of God to serve him in his house, who's had to be, had to learn that lesson, that he's a sufficient God in all circumstances. I remember when I first went out to preach, after a week or two, well, I felt I said it all. I'd carried this exercise of preaching. Well, I thought I could therefore preach these things. Then someone came along and said to me, would I take this? There was an ordinance of baptism. And I began to see that there was other things that the Lord required of me to do. Dear friends, and this applies to all the children of God. If he's appointed you a place in the Church of Christ, dear friends, he may cause you much anxiety, but his grace is sufficient. Would you think, dear friends, and I say this very carefully, would you think that he would raise up a poor sinner to serve him in his house and leave him to his own devices, leave him to his own feelings? You know, there's such a lot of truth concerning those words underneath of the everlasting arms. He'll hold his people up. He'll supply all they need. None that he has appointed a position in the house of God, dear friends, have ever been brought to confusion. No more, dear friends, unless of course they rest upon flesh. But according to divine help, what has he said? When the Lord speaks according to his mind, his eternal mind, and he reveals according to his eternal mind what his people shall be indeed given to do. Perhaps I hope, and I don't say it because I want to give false hope, but is there a soul, maybe there's a soul here that looks at the ordinance of his house and feels drawn by love to the church here. Perhaps, dear friends, is probably full of fear, as it is often in the case. But you know, dear friends, if it is of the will and the purposes of God that you should walk according to gospel ordinances, will he not help you? Has he not helped others? Has he not been a sufficient help in times of need? Perhaps you know what it is, and I say this very carefully, dear friends, the right way is according to mercy. Dear friends, if he's going to show you your interest in Jesus Christ, that you have a saviour in him, he'll show you the state of your own nature first. Or if there's anything, dear friends, that a work of grace is evident, dear friends, is when he makes you and I feel condemned by our own nature and by our own sin, and discouraged to be found calling upon God for mercy. Mention was made of the prodigal, you know, in the hymn, and I've thought much of him of late. Oh, returning soul, but what was he to return with? He didn't come back to his father's house better. Dear friends, he had on his conscience his sin. I will arise and go to my father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And I was going to say, there's nothing better, and there's nothing more humbling, to come just as you are, not to wait till you're improved, but rather to come just as you are and pour out your heart before him. It's much more profitable, dear friends, when believers in Jesus walk a humble way rather than to come back in pride and in some sense of their own workings. Now, there's another thing too, and dear friends, this is, I have to speak as I'm led, I believe. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Dear friends, and I said this before, I'll say it again, you know, the Lord's given you hearers here. But may they not be only hearers with a natural ear, but a spiritual ear. May they come to chapel seeking for that which will bring them out of the captivity of sin. Dear friends, they come to chapel at service time and long for the word of God to be sent to them or applied to them. It's a great mercy, dear friends, when such a petition and such exercise is answered. Was it the apostle said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. It's a great mercy, dear friends, even in these terrible days, that the life of God depends upon continued grace and that time of need. I cannot see, neither do I believe it is to be seen, that a real grace-taught soul shall be satisfied with mere attendance on the Lord's house. You come on Sundays, you come on a weeknight. Dear friends, surely you have something to come for. Does he not give you a longings after him, revealings? Surely you know what it is to walk in darkness and have no light. Surely you know at times what it is to wonder whether you're a child of grace or a child of the devil. But you know, dear friends, you'll come to the house of God. What does the hymn say? Show me a token, Lord, for good, a token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God, that my treasure is above. I said earlier, dear friends, in Matthew's Gospel, you will find those words, and he answered her not a word. And how trying it was to her. She carried a burden of her child, and she brought that burden to Jesus, and who seemed to be almost as though he was turning her away. But she waited on him, and she waited for him. And he turned her captivity, answered her petition, and delivered her child from that illness. But there seems to me here, this word, there was something needed, dear friends, and that the Lord alone could do. There was something needed. And oh, may you and I have these things which only the Lord can do. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I go back to the commandments of the gospel. And here's a word like this to a poor sinner. Dear friends, as you know as well as I do, the dealings of God with your soul are in opposition, as it were, to Satan's work in one's own heart. Oh, how one has to plead with the Lord that he will pardon sin and raise you up to a hope in the mercy of God. Perhaps there's some soul that would long for such a blessing. May I say this to you, dear friends, if you had no exercise, you would have no interest. You may not be satisfied at the moment. I've often thought this, and it should be preached to encourage waiting souls. You may not possess what you want to possess, but you desire to possess it. Now that's the grace of God, dear friends, to desire to possess it. You may be tempted by the evil one, but you're not brought to possess or walk in the blessing, dear friends, which you long for. Dear friends, wait for it. Wait upon him for it. But how can you and I come to chapel? Should we have the blessing of grace, how you and I can come to the house of God without a need? Dear friends, that is what the state by nature we had, we was in before being called by grace. If we were not satisfied, at least we was in the Lord's house, and we'd give no offence to parents. But you know, when God calls you by his grace, He'll begin a need in your soul, which only he can satisfy. Longing souls, dear friends, are often tried souls. Waiting upon the Lord is often waiting for him. Oh, the times. And again, may I say this to any soul that has been in the way. Surely we have permission by the hymns that have been chosen tonight, have we not permission to speak of the times of restoration? Come, ye backsliding sons of God, for many such there are who long the paths of sin have trod. Come, cast away despair, return to Jesus Christ and see there's mercy still for such as we. I thought as we sang of the indignation of the Lord, a while we will endure, for we have sinned against his word, but still his grace is sure. 'Tis all a gift, let no man boast, for Jesus came to save the lost. Is there such a soul here that have known better spiritual days? Is there such a soul here? And I was going to use perhaps hard words, but who seem to be abandoned. And they feel abandoned, they feel destitute. You know, there's, in the scripture we find this word. Was it in the Psalms? Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them to go down into the pit. What a healthy, profitable time, dear friends, it is for such souls to be returning prodigals. What a profitable time. It shows the mercy of God doesn't change. You may backslide. You may be left to backslide. The Lord grants you a spirit of repentance and confession. But then the Lord grants you times of sweet refreshing. But you have to wait for him, dear friends. But it is a question, we must keep to the question. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. What has he saith to you? Has he saith anything to you? Do you love the Lord's people enough to follow them in the ordinances of his house? Do you love Christ? I was going to say sufficient to walk in the way of his commands. You know, dear friends, the Lord keep us all from the flesh. It's very solemn when you think about it. There is places where the flesh seems to delight to have the effect upon the walk and pathway. But you know, I was thinking, and I turned to it in the 8th chapter of the Acts. We read about a man, a certain man, called Simon the Sorcerer. And he bewitched the people of Samaria by his talk, and that he was some great one. And they came to this conclusion, this man is a great power of God. But you know, dear friends, there was no grace. It doesn't appear to me there was any grace either. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. Well, I suppose those who would be present would have said there'd been a change. Well, it didn't seem to be much of a change. We read this further on, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter saith unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Dear friends, if you and I possess, shall I say, a new nature, it will have desires which will be for your spiritual profit and good. And you'll wait upon the Lord for his word. And you'll wait for him to speak to your soul. People say they come to chapel on service time and they have a good service. Do Dear friends, what effect did it have on their soul? That's when you had a good service. That's when the word of God has been blessed. Dear friends, if the word, his word and the power of it affects your precious soul, whether it is to charge you with sin and send you home miserable, or whether it is to deliver you from the misery and the condemnation of sin and raise to a hope in his mercy, dear friends, his word with his blessing and application will do your souls much good. So may this word be, dear friends, a word in season, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. But whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. But what is it doing it? Dear friends, there is nothing more to be gained by the flesh, because the flesh doesn't want these pathways. But you know, dear friends, if the Lord is about to bless you, he'll give you an appetite, a desire for the Church of Christ. He'll give you an appetite and a desire for the things of God. Dear friends, it is true, a child of God can find the Lord Jesus Christ precious, but he's also precious in the want of him, and also precious in the possession of him. You know, I said just now, even that having a desire, dear friends, for the things of God is an evidence of spiritual life. It's not the satisfaction, dear friends, that you would ask, but a desire for it. Oh, dear friends, there's nothing more distressing than waiting for the Lord. The word of God has much encouragement, especially in the book of Psalms. Wait, I say, upon thee, Lord. I was thinking what's written. But excuse me, just going back in the scriptures. But in the 27th Psalm, we had this word, or we find this word, I had fainted, lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What grace is needed? You know, we can sing these beautiful hymns, the appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace. You need much grace, dear friends, to do according to the commandments of God. How you wait for him and wait upon him. How you long for him to speak. Dear friends, and I hope there is still a day in this poor country of ours when the sinners come into chapel that have a desire to hear his voice. Not come into chapel to fill their seats. Not come into chapel because they were brought up to come. But come into chapel because they've been condemned by their own iniquity and sin. Come to listen to see whether there should there be mercy. Could there be mercy? I used to feel in those far old days, I couldn't see how there could be mercy. Dear friends, if you know yourself to be a black sinner and a condemned sinner as well, I used to travel up to chapel on a Sunday and walk the streets before going into the house of God, and I couldn't see how it could be there was mercy for such sinners as me. I really couldn't. I could look upon the children of God. I remember sitting in the gallery at Hanover, Tunbridge Wells. I watched the dear saints of God sitting at the Lord's table. And oh, how I longed to be there. I felt, and I hope you'll understand this, I felt they were justified in sitting there. I felt that I knew them, every one of them, and they were the children of God. You know, and I felt in my own heart of hearts, I never would sit there. You know, I did, I love the hymn, Black Eye to the Fountain Fly, Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Now, dear friends, I know this little verse 5 is in the form of a question, or rather, it's in the form of an order, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. But there is a preparation that the grace of God, dear friends, will make you aware of what that means. Oh, I hope there's such a thing as an exercise, one exercised soul in this house of God who has in their heart a longing desire for the Lord to speak to them. Will he not give grace? Lord, will the Lord not give grace and help and faith to follow in his ways? Will not the Lord give grace and all sufficient encouragement to walk in his ways, to follow him in the footsteps, and to follow the footsteps of the flock? It's a great mercy, dear friends, as I said just now, to have a spiritual desire for the things of God. Oh, but it is according to the Lord's time. You know, the time he has set for the blessing of his people. They cannot see what you can see afterwards. They cannot see waiting time to be profitable to them. When the Lord is silent, dear friends, and still they can't turn round and go back and walk no more with him. Dear friends, no more than you and I can now. But you know, if you have something to wait for, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I do hope and long, dear friends, that such a word as this, there is a purpose for it. And that there may be some evidence, signs of it. The Lord bring to pass the desire. You know, if he's made a desire in your soul, he'll make a way that desire comes to pass. Whatever that desire is, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Oh, mercy. The Lord have mercy. Help you to venture upon his grace. Help you to venture on his presence. Dear friends, what a mercy, dear friends, if such a soul is waiting for the Lord. It's not flesh then. It's the Holy Spirit's work. They want to see, want to feel. You know, the Lord Jesus spoke about following him. Now, dear friends, grace is needed to follow him, to walk in a pathway which Christ has walked and has walked before, to walk in his footsteps. Dear friends, he had his opposition. You will have an opposition that he will never have. Dear friends, his old nature he didn't have. You've got an old nature, and that old nature will always oppose the ways of grace. But he has Satan opposed him. I often think of some of those times when Satan suggested to him to do something. Well, he couldn't comply to it. Dear friends, how could the Son of God comply to a request? As you know, before he went to preach his gospel, Satan tried him 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Dear friends, you may say, well, was that all? No, it wasn't all. Satan in the hearts of wicked men troubled him and tried him. Or may you be in this text tonight. May you be given grace to fall into the words of this text. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And you will prove, dear friends, that his faithfulness and his grace is all sufficient. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. Or may there be a purpose, therefore, in this word. And may he bless it to your souls. Now forgive us and pardon us of all that's amiss. Amen.
willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for the members of the church on Friday evening. There'll be a prayer meeting on next Lord's Day morning at 9 o'clock for the nation, after which Minister Jonathan Buss is expected to preach. Let us close with hymn 133. One there is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly, free, and knows no end. They who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. 133.
Been amiss, but own and bless thine own word. Be with us each as we leave thy courts. Take us home in peace and safety. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, abide with us now and forever. Amen.